My friends, peace be with you. In today's, oh, or you can say that too. It's kind of amazing how we just kind of, certain lines, we just respond to them instantly, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. See how it works. In today's scripture readings, we hear a lot about widows. And because the life of a widow in Jesus' day and in biblical times was a lot different than life of widows today, I'd like to delve into this imagery a little bit. You see, in biblical times, there was no system of social services like we have in present-day America, nor were women accepted in the workplace. And this meant that a widow was in a real precarious situation. She'd have no source of income or no security even unless she had adult male children who could take care of her. And unlike our system today, flawed though it may be, the widows didn't have life insurance, social security, or even a soup kitchen that they could visit. If they had no family to care for them, they were forced to become beggars. And so they were truly amongst the poorest and least significant people in their society. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at these readings about widows. In the first reading, we hear about the widow of Zarephath. And she's living in a time when there's a great famine going through the land. And she and her son are literally down to their last meal. She has nothing, no money, no food, no hope. And this is when the prophet Elijah comes to her. And now we have an important biblical theme that's on display here, namely that God comes into our lives at this moment, at the time when we're most vulnerable and helpless. Now, this, of course, isn't due to some limitation on God's part, but it's more due to a limitation of our human nature. You see, when things are going well for us, it's easy for us to push God aside, to begin to think that we're self-sufficient, and we forget to invite God into our lives, to treat us, to take care of us as our primary caretaker. Instead, we think we're independent. But when we find ourselves in situations where we've hit rock bottom, so to speak, that's the moment when we realize that we need God. And that's the moment that we're open to God, that we welcome him into our lives. And so this is where the widow of Zarephath happens to be. So what does the prophet say to this woman who has nothing, who's hit rock bottom? Please bring me some water. So immediately she says, I don't even have enough food for myself and my son. We're down to our last meal. And so Elijah says, well, in that case, bring me some water and a cake. Now, this is biblical humor right here. We have this woman who is herself a beggar, and the prophet is asking this beggar to give him food and drink. Well, naturally, the woman rejects this request. Now, pay attention here, because this is what we're going to find out, something important. A spiritual truth is going to be given to us right at this point. And here's the truth, that when we have nothing to give, that's the moment that we're called to give. To receive God's abundance, we must willingly give. Now, it's a paradox, but it's true. So as Elijah encounters this woman in her desperate situation, what does he do? He asks her to give. To give. No, no, she needs something. She doesn't need to give something. She needs to receive. But see, there's the paradox. It's precisely now, in this desperate situation, when we're asked to give. Well, here's the spiritual truth that we learn. When you're connected to God, who is perfect giving, then you can continuously give and give and give and never run out. When you're connected to God, who is gift, you can give out of that deep space and you'll never run out. The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry. Now, the flip side of this truth, of course, is that when we cling to substitutes for God, such as money and power and sex and beauty and honor, then what happens is that we hoard. And we hoard and hoard, and we can do this all we want, but we'll never be satisfied. But you see, when we're connected to God, who is infinite giving, we can give infinitely. When we're connected to God, who is infinite love, we can love infinitely. Do you want to receive more in your life? Then give. Do you want more joy in your life? And who doesn't? Then be a person who spreads joy to others. Do you want more love in your life? Then be a person who loves. See, this is the transforming power of the scriptures. And it's the same thing that we hear in today's gospel. See, Jesus praises the widow for giving a few cents. Why? Well, because she gave out of her connectedness to God. See, unlike the scribes who used their religion as a way to increase their own honor, she didn't seek to hoard. She didn't seek to draw attention to herself. She didn't seek to gain anything. She sought to give. And if we allow this biblical principle to operate in our own lives, it can change us. It can transform us. And I'd like to share with you a story from my own life. You see, after college, I went to the University of Notre Dame, go Irish, even though they lost yesterday. I was very depressed. After college, I moved to Chicago and worked for a Fortune 500 company as a computer consultant. And I was making a good salary and had a nice apartment in suburban Chicago. I had a nice car and a good job. And everything seemed to be going pretty well. The only problem was that I was miserable. The job, the money, the car, the apartment, they couldn't satisfy me. And I'd often call home to my mom, and I'd complain about how unhappy I was, to the point that my mom was actually getting worried about my own well-being. And so after a lot of prayer, it hit me that God was not calling me to hoard. He was calling me to give. And so as I prayed over this situation and consulted with people, I made a decision to quit my job and to move to New York City and to volunteer at a soup kitchen for a year out in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area of Brooklyn. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Bed-Stuy, but it's one of the poorest neighborhoods in Brooklyn, and it's run by a street gang known as the Bloods. So this change of life wasn't easy by any stretch of the imagination. And I can even remember when I was on the plane moving from Chicago to New York, sitting here and the realization of what I'd done just finally hit me. I'm sitting here, oh my goodness, what have I done? I began to make those backup plans, you know, so that I can find my way to weasel out of doing the work in New York and go back to Chicago and get my job back and all of that. Friends, I'm here today to tell you that living and working in New York was one of the best experiences of my life. I lived in what used to be a convent at one of the churches, and I was given a monthly stipend of $300 to cover my food and other expenses, which in New York doesn't go very far. And I gave of myself. Day in and day out, I gave. And it was difficult work. And contrary to what I initially thought, you see, when I initially went, I thought I'd go and be able to do something good and help people and change the world. But after about 3 months of being at the soup kitchen, I realized that I wasn't going to change the world. I wasn't even going to make a dent in poverty and hunger in the city of New York, yet alone the world. But I still kept on giving. And eventually, as I did this, I realized that the more I gave, the more I was receiving. I grew closer to God, and I was a lot happier in my life. You see, there was no comparison between my life in Chicago and my life in New York. Despite my poverty in New York, my life was so much better. Why? Well, because like the widows, I decided not to hoard, but to give. Friends, this truth contained in these scriptures are not just mere words. The truth has the power to impact and change your life. So I encourage you to learn this firsthand. Follow the example of the widows. Let go of whatever self-interest you're hoarding onto. And instead, cling to God and give of yourself. And the gospel will change your life. I promise you this. God bless.